I think we've worked out our differences, limits. You were very cold to me this morning. I could feel it emanating through the telephone line.
Do you ever wonder why? Well, it's October, right? We know why. But it's going to be up to 80 degrees today, but when we wake up, it's like 40.
What?
Is that strange at all? It was like 48 degrees when I woke up this morning. It's going to get up to 80 as a high today.
Clearly, we're still not on the same page, but no, I haven't wondered about that. Something unbelievable happened to me this morning. Unblanking believable. And every bit of this is true. So, and we're going to get into the Steelers in just a moment. I promise that. So to make a long story longer, I thought these were brown sugar Pop-Tarts, and they're s'mores. Do you want one?
Do you not want them?
I don't want the other one. I don't like it. I thought it was brown sugar and cinnamon. That's my favorite. This thing sucks. Anyway, wife taking daughter to school today. Joe says when he finds out this news last night, I could play golf in the morning. I'm going to make a 7:48 tee time at Moon. Because when daughter and wife leave, Joe feed dog, Joe play golf. Sound like a good plan?
Yes.
So she leaves this morning. I tell a little lie, not a big one, that, oh, Bailey, our dog, because she was still in the driveway with my wife, getting ready for my daughter to come out. I don't usually take Bailey out this early. I say, Bailey came running down the stairs as soon as you left. Look at this. He's ready to go out already. So I took him out. He went to the bathroom, blah, blah, blah. I fed him. And the second that they left, I went to the golf course. Okay? I was there before 8 a.m. for my tee time. Are you following the story so far?
I'm following, yes. Golf before 8.
I'm thinking I got away with all of this, right? I got the dog out. I got the dog fed. I'm happy. I'm on the course.
So who forgot something?
No, this is what happened. At 8:40 a.m., she delayed this just to really punish me. She says, you butt-dialed me this morning, so now I'm going to bust your blanks. I heard you asking to tee off with someone that you're Joe Starkey from The Fan. I butt-dialed her. She heard the whole thing. You live quite a charmed life. Who gets to play golf at 8 a.m. on a Tuesday? And I'm mad you left Bailey at home to stay in the house on a nice morning so you could golf. Can you believe this?
Wow, that's a long text message.
First of all, to accidentally butt dial her, of all the people in my contact.
Do you know how many times you've accidentally butt dialed me before?
How many?
A lot.
I have?
Yes. And I just go,
why does that keep happening? The phone says it's locked and it's dark. The phone's dark. I shouldn't be able to text or accidentally dial somebody unless I unlock it, right?
Well, considering you're already pressing buttons right now while you're showing it to me and not knowing it.
This is an all-time bust.
That's not good, Joe. That's not good.
At 8 a.m. saying, hi there, I'm Joe Starkey from The Fan. We're about to tee off. That's a mega bust.
Where do you keep your phone? Like,
in my pocket.
What pocket? Your front pocket? Back pocket?
Front.
That shouldn't happen like that. So you got to make sure it's locked.
Right. And as anybody out there who golfs knows, the worst kind of golf is guilty golf.
Well, so did
I was already, I was having a great round, and then suddenly, like, it turned a little bit because I was now playing guilty golf.
So does your phone have a password on it?
Yeah, of course.
So how does your, when you put your phone in your pocket, password
I don't know.
Magically work?
I press the button on the right. Up comes all the photo of my family and the time. That should mean locked, right?
Yes.
Okay, then how does it dial from that position?
Do you have Face ID on there?
I don't know what I have. All I know is now I'm down one. You know what I mean? In any relationship, somebody's winning, somebody's losing. You have leverage, you have points, you can squander like hotel points. I'm out. She's got the points. She's got the leverage. I'm in trouble.
Yeah, get ready to do the dishes tonight, buddy.
Something happened here. Anyway, how are you?
I'm great. How are you? Other than that circumstance.
I just told you a whole
other
story.
Other than that circumstance.
Yes.
Any better?
Are we okay?
We're great.
There was some hostility more than usual this morning. I felt bad. And I'm sorry.
Everything is squandered and good.
Okay. I'm glad to hear
Splattered
that.
Splattered and good.
I met somebody last night who said they knew you and
yes.
referred to you as City Limits.
How about that? Somebody yeah. that I've known for a very long time in yeah. volleyball.
Wonderful, man. All right. Let's get to the Steelers. And Off the Top is brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. We're going to have the Mike Tomlin news conference live at noon. My friend Brian Batko, he goes by sometimes. And sometimes he goes by the Batconian Mongoose. He's going to be coming in to join me to analyze Tomlin today. But here's where I want to begin, with you. And those of you out there especially who think that, you know, we need to pump the brakes. That's a phrase I keep hearing since yesterday. Pump the brakes. They beat the Raiders and the Jets, and now everybody's talking Super Bowl, and now everybody's talking this and that. You're overreacting. That was the social media feedback I got, column-wise and show-wise, Wonder Twin. And here's my question, because I'm always amazed. It's like that game. You ever play that game, telephone, where
yes.
it's a bunch of people sitting around, and you start out by saying, City Limits is very kind. And by the end, it's somebody says, City Limits has a lot on his mind.
Exactly. That's exactly how it goes.
Or City Limits munches on pork rinds. Something like that. Yes, by the end, it's nothing like it was. I wonder how many filters people hear things through. Now, granted, I wanted yesterday just to be a day of fun and togetherness and excitement. But exactly what should we pump the brakes on? Exactly in what way am I or anyone who's high on the Steelers right now, in what way are we actually overreacting? Pick one specifically. Now that we've had a day and we can soberly analyze this, the euphoria of Sunday night, of Russell Wilson, of all that, has passed. It's now Tuesday. It's a work day. It's not a game day, but it's a prep day. It's a Tomlin day. All of that. Is it an overreaction to say that the Steelers are a contender in the AFC? Is that an overreaction? You tell me at 412-928-9370. What I actually believe and have said is I don't even think the Steelers are going to win their division. So exactly where do I need to pump the brakes? Where do I need to do that? I think they're the second best team in their own division, but I think they might be, have a chance to be, are in the mix to be the third best team in the AFC. And I think if they stay healthy, they're radically improved from last year in what I think was a better AFC, by the way, when they finished 10-7 and were in the playoffs and had to play without TJ Watt in Buffalo. They're a much better team. They have upgraded in a big way at quarterback. Doesn't mean that they can match Josh Allen and Mahomes and CJ Stroud and Lamar. They can't. But they have upgraded in a big way at quarterback, in a big way at coordinator. Defensively, their secondary's better. It's just flat out better. Their inside linebacker situation is worlds better than it was midway through last season. And I even think their defensive line is worlds better because Cam is healthy and playing well. This is a significantly better team, top to bottom, than last year. Offensive line, you know, maybe a wash or so, especially with the injuries, but they played well the other night. Receiver, I think Pickens has a chance to be better, and I think you've unlocked him with Russell Wilson. I think that's about a wash. I know we don't have Deontay running the wrong way anymore. Probably depth at receiver was better last year. But overall, should I pump the brakes on opining that this is a much better team than last year? that this is still a wild card team, that it's a team that could give the big boys, and I consider the AFC to have two big boys, and that's Kansas City and Baltimore, trouble in a playoff game if they stay healthy. I think that's rational, sober thinking on this team. I really do. They might be the third best team in the AFC. I don't see how that's some crazy, over-the-top, euphoric, caffeine-induced opinion. I don't. I just think, did you see the game the other night? I don't care who they were playing. By the, I think the Jets are pretty talented, by the way, even if their record might not show it. And I know they had some injuries, especially in their secondary. But things become different. I open my eyes a little bit when you start winning games by lots of points. It's not what the Steelers do. My God, we talked 2 weeks ago going into the Raiders game. The last time they had won a road game by more than one score was what, 2000?
I think it was 2020, right?
20?
Jacksonville?
Jacksonville, yeah. 27-3. Mulsey had hair at that point, limits. I think.
It's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago. Where were you in 2020? Still in college?
That would have been the pandemic year. I would have been a sophomore. Yeah, in college.
Think about that.
Sophomore college.
So that's the last time they did that. I don't give a crap who they're playing, the Raiders or anybody else. They win by that kind of score, and then they come back and do it again. And now they're trying to score 30 points three games in a row for the first time since 2015. That opens my eyes a little bit. So does the quarterback situation. And you see defensively what Highsmith means to them. You see a radically improved inside linebacker group. It just is. And Patrick Queen probably has been slightly disappointing. But even disappointing, he looks like Ray Lewis compared to the people they've trucked through here. Joe Schobert, you want to start listing people? Mulsey?
Devin Bush? Schobert?
City? Devin Bush, Joe Schobert, Alex Barron?
Mark Barron.
Mark Barron, who was Alex? Was there an Alex involved there?
I don't think there was an Alex.
I'm sorry. Is Alex Barron a person?
Probably.
Yeah, I think he must be. Maybe he's a hockey player. Who else? Come on, there's a bunch of guys. Last year, they brought in a flying instructor.
Yeah, a bunch of forgettable guys to play linebacker.
Who was the guy they brought in last year that he had been flying planes the week before? He used to play here. What was his name? Guy from UCLA. Help me. Somebody help me.
Oh, I'm trying.
And a bunch of other guys last year. I mean, it's been ridiculous, that position. Anyway, why am I focusing on that position? I'm not really. They're better than they were last year, I think by a significant amount, and they won 10 games last year. I don't feel any need to pump the brakes by saying, wow, this team I think might be third best in the AFC, and I think they could give Kansas City and Baltimore trouble. I think that's a sober analysis.
It was Miles Jack, by the way.
Miles Jack, yeah. And the other guy was retired too. They were literally bringing in guys who used to play football to play last year. I mean, it was incredible. Now, Buffalo and Houston, I think the Steelers are in the mix with them. You might say behind because those are two great quarterbacks. I'll buy that. Buffalo's got some problems defensively, however. They got some problems in their secondary. So, yeah, I don't see where I need to pump the brakes, where I am overreacting, or where people who are thinking like me are overreacting. You tell me. 412-928-9370. What you think the Steelers' standing in the AFC is right now. And I'll say this, too, Limits. And this was the same as coming into the season. Is the bar this year is playoff win or bust. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
They have to win a playoff game or this season is an F, a complete failure.
Because you're talking about that right now TJ Watt might be the defensive player of the year. No, there's been a couple games where he's not been as effective, but that's on TJ Watt standards. A defense that is top five in the NFL and an offense that looks a lot more competent than it was last year, which I know the ceiling's on the floor in that regard, but Russell Wilson sparked some new life into this, and they're 5-2 with Tomlin just once again doing it again as he does every year. Now we'll see if this year is more over the top than 10-7, 9-8, but still, they should win a playoff game because of the level of competition in the AFC not being that great either. Now, are they better than Buffalo? I don't think so, but I think four is a realistic place to put them, which should allow them to win a game.
I think they could beat Buffalo, and I think they could beat Houston. I think they could beat one of the top two on a given day. Let's see where the Russell Wilson thing goes. Now, is that a prediction? No. My prediction right now would probably be wild card, one win, and then done in the playoffs. 412-928-9370. Telling everybody who's excited to pump the brakes. Where do you have the Steelers? You have them three or four?
I have them four behind Buffalo. I mean, I think they can beat Baltimore as they've shown year after year after year. They've done so well against Lamar. They're the only team really in the NFL that can control Lamar and know how to beat him and beat him consistently.
I know, but and that's a good point that I didn't make, that when I'm rating them with Baltimore and Kansas City, they do play Baltimore really well.
Very well.
Now, to be fair, they miss Lamar about half the time.
Yes.
It feels like they're always playing their backup. And to be extra fair, last year, Lamar, I thought, except for that horrific pass late in the game, played a really good game, and their receivers dropped literally, I think, 7 or 8 passes.
Yeah, I was at that game. They dropped that, what, Mark Andrews dropped the game-winning touchdown, or maybe Lamar overthrew him, I think, maybe by a yard, whatever.
Yeah.
I feel better playing the Ravens than I do playing Buffalo, Joe. I mean, Kansas City's Kansas City. They're on the pinnacle at the top. We'll see what happens on Christmas Day. But if it was a playoff game in Buffalo, I'd feel a lot better about a playoff game in Baltimore because of that familiarity, because of Harbaugh versus Tomlin, because of the way that they've been able to exploit Marlon Humphrey and some of those defenders on defense for Baltimore. I'd feel much better about that.
Listen, there's concerns here. I'm not even sure when you say the Steelers are a top five defense. I realize statistically, scoring, things like that, they are right now. I have concerns about this defense. I do. You know, I watched the Indy game and the Dallas game, and there's areas of concern, don't get me wrong, but they're certainly good enough, I think, defensively. They're definitely a top 10 and maybe a top 5 defense. They might be, because the turnovers make up for a lot. I have a quick aside on this, Limits, as you field calls at 412-928-9370.
The lines are lighting up like a Christmas tree.
They're lighting up like Mulsey in a craft beer house, like Crowley at a West Virginia game, like Pony in the Carrier Dome. Anything else? What's Callis'
favorite?
That about
covers it.
Yeah. Well, not really.
Callis at a Bethel Park production. That's where he works there, too.
Is that where he's happiest? Where is he happiest?
That's a good question. I don't know where Harry is most happy.
No, I thought you two were good buddies. No?
Yes, we're buddies. I've hung out with Harry outside of work, but like I don't know where like his necessary happy place is.
Okay, that's fine. I was just inquiring. There's definite tension between you and I today. Even the simplest interaction.
No, I think you're just...
No, there's leftover hostility.
You're trying to make things... Come on.
You didn't return my text this morning because you were feeling hostile
sleeping.
About an arrangement from last night that you made for us to go on another on-the-road thing that got a little screwed up, perhaps by my negligence. And I didn't mean to deliver a sports apology. The sports apology goes like this: sorry if I offended anybody, which is another way of saying I don't think I did anything wrong, but if you were offended, sorry about that. You know, that type of thing. I gave you a legitimate apology. I'm sorry.
There it is. I was looking for that.
That's great. That's the sports apology. By the way, the Manning cast, either love it or you hate it, I guess, from people.
I am an in-between person.
I watched
the regular broadcast. Like, I like watching clips of the Manning cast, but I will not watch a regular Manning cast production because I'm a play-by-play guy too. I like the art of watching the game with
that.
The play-by-play
yeah.
and the crowd and everything in the background compared to just a commentary.
The other thing with these Pop-Tarts is they're burnt. I mean, are you serious here? The burnt s'mores Pop-Tarts I just paid $2 for?
How were they burnt? Did you burn them in the toaster?
No, I didn't even cook them. They're cooked burnt in the thing. They're awful. Sorry to say. Because generally I like Pop-Tarts ever since I was a little kid.
Sorry, Pop-Tarts. You know why the Steelers should have the best defense, though?
Why?
They paid the most money out of any team in the league.
True? Is that still true?
$160 million they've spent on defense.
I don't think they have the best defense. What I think they have is a radically improved defense from last year, largely because of health. I mean, my God, just start with Cam. What else was I talking about there? The Ravens. Oh. Limits, as soon as you're off the phone, I have a Lamar hot take. I want your undivided attention for this. Here's my Lamar hot take on him. Is that I think we all judge, a lot of us, I should say, judge him way too harshly based solely on what he does in the playoffs, what he does after the wild card round. And there is room for criticism there. There is. But by far the bigger story with Lamar Jackson is that this guy is phenomenal. And he already belongs in the pantheon, if that's the right word here. And I'm actually not sure if it is. Of all-time greats in sports who never won a championship. Did I already do this take last week, or was that you and I in the back?
No, it was here.
I'm just sick of people criticizing this guy.
Because I'm a big Lamar criticizer.
I was watching it. For what?
I've come around a little bit.
On what? The guy's unbelievable, man. You're missing it. Did you watch the show last night? My wife, who's extra angry at me this morning, sort of likes football, gets tired of it. She sat down last night. I'm like, watch this guy.
Yeah, we have somebody who met you this morning, actually, on the line.
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
His name is Jimmy.
He was one of the guys I played with, I think. Watch the show. What's the point here? You're going to miss the show. He's incredible on almost every play. And any play can turn into a highlight. I mean, he's great. And I was watching Belichick and Peyton Manning break down his game. He's matured in his game. He's just a fabulous all-time talent is what he is. I don't know if he's going to win a Super Bowl. I don't know. T.J. Watt's never won a playoff game. We going to sit here and rip his ass for that?
Oh, you're comparing quarterbacks to pass rushers?
He's a dominant defensive player.
It's completely different, though. The quarterback is the catalyst for everything. It's the most important position in sports.
Yeah, and he's won playoff games, I believe, Lamar, right?
A couple, yes.
Yeah, AFC title game last year.
But when you're a quarterback, a two-time MVP, and look, I've softened my stance on Lamar. I think, you know, I'm appreciating the talent that he is more now than in previous years.
So does he deserve more criticism or praise? If you need more than a split second to answer that question, you're out of your mind, I think.
I just want to see somebody who gets as praised and as much awards and recognition as he does as a two-time MVP take even them to the Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, that's what Joe Burrow did in his first couple of years.
And when I mentioned TJ, I'm mentioning that in the context of judging spectacular individual talents based on what their team does. It's not TJ's fault he's never won a playoff game.
All right, if you want to talk about just individual talents.
He strip-sacked Patrick Mahomes and walked in for a touchdown. You want to know who else hasn't won a Super Bowl? Other than Dan Marino, Barry Sanders, and I could go on for an hour, Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Fran Tarkenton, and then among current players, would you like me to start my list of quarterbacks?
Well, do you
want to
go some of the guys that you mentioned? Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Tarkenton, Marino, they all got to a Super Bowl.
Eventually,
they were there. Okay, so it's a little bit different.
Barry Sanders hasn't gotten past
the AFC Championship game yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, Barry Sanders. I mean, you're talking about a Lions team that won one playoff game. That's Detroit. You're talking about Baltimore, a team with constant success.
Has Josh Allen gotten to a Super Bowl?
No.
Has Joe Burrow won one?
He got there at least.
Okay.
In his first couple of years in a Cincinnati organization that's not nearly
Justin
the same
Herbert,
as Baltimore.
Justin Herbert.
Now, Justin Herbert had Brandon Staley trusting analytics.
So there's an excuse for everybody.
He has John Harbaugh as his coach in a great organization.
Are you able to appreciate Lamar as a singular, already all-time talent? Because
yes.
He's shooting for a third MVP, and he's deserving. Maybe he's a great regular season talent. So what? The regular season's long. It's 16 and now 17 games. So over the course of how many games has he played? He has started 84 games. You know what this dude's record is? 63-21.
Yeah, and he's like 23-1 against the NFC.
63-21. He has 140 touchdown passes to 47 interceptions. And I haven't even gotten into, he's a top at least five running quarterback of all time. I just think, what's the best way to phrase this? That it's a product of modern thinking. How everybody has to fit into 40 characters or less, or in this case, three or less, three words or less, can't win big one, four words. It's just, I hate characterizing people like that. I've gotten, even though he plays for the Ravens, tons of enjoyment of watching in watching this guy, including last night, was ridiculous, the plays he was making. This guy, you know, on second and seven for a four-yard gain, that's an ESPN top 10 for the night. Can happen anytime. He's 63-21. So I want to put him up there already. Yes, already. Especially if he wins his third MVP in the list of all-time greats who have never won. I'm way more inclined, and it's not even a thought, to praise this guy than to criticize him. Because the criticism whittles down to, if you're an MVP, you got to carry your team to a Super Bowl win.
Right? Yeah, but he's not played well in the playoffs and games that they've lost. He's not done well.
I know.
That's on him.
Yeah.
With a lot of good things around him. With a very solid running game, a good offensive line, and a defense that is constantly top five.
That's not true. That they're constantly
their defense
top
that's
five.
Not constantly top five?
Look up the last 5 years. You tell me how many times they've been top five.
A tweeter or a texter puts out an interesting fact here.
If that's the first thing that comes to your mind with Lamar Jackson, I'll just say this. I think that's too bad.
Very good individual talent.
And you have room for, there is room to criticize. What you're saying is true. He needs to be better in the biggest games at the end of the year. That is true, too. But I just think it's a shame that the first thing that comes to mind for people is like something like choke artist or can't win the big one. I hate that. I just do. That's my take for today on Lamar. What does the texter say?
The texter asks, Joe, why do you judge Tomlin on playoff and championship wins but not players?
What do you mean? What does that mean?
I think basically, I mean, why are you not judging quarterbacks on playoff success, but we continue to dial down on Tomlin with playoffs, not winning championships, and continuing to lose in the playoffs?
Mike
why
Tomlin,
can't a similar standard
Mike
be
Tomlin,
held for players?
Mike Tomlin was an A-plus for his first 5 years. Since then, he's been about a C-plus. He hasn't won a single playoff game in 7 years.
I'm not disputing that. I'm just pointing out the question of the tweeter.
Yeah,
the
a single playoff game. In 7 years, and has missed the playoffs about half the time. So, yeah, I think there's room for both with Tomlin, who will be in the Hall of Fame.
I just think there are so many good circumstances around Lamar. I mean, he's played in a division over the years where before Burrow, it was, I mean, awful Cincinnati. Cleveland has been a dumpster fire for years. He has one of the best coaches, I think, in the NFL. John Harbaugh's pretty overlooked at times.
Yeah, so Harbaugh's done a great job in those late playoff games.
He's had a couple
but
dud
Lamar
years.
Hasn't. He's one of the greatest football players I've watched, and I've been watching for 50 years. And there's room for criticism in the playoffs, yes. But for me, the first one outweighs the second one by a trillion pounds for me. All right. Wonder Twin. Let's get to the phone lines here. We're going to have Mike Tomlin at noon. Top of the hour, we're going to hear some Ben from his podcast. Did you say there were some interesting things on there?
Yeah, he was talking about Danny Smith, and Ben FaceTimed Danny Smith. And Ben has some very high praise and accolades that he wants Danny Smith to receive. Also, Ben talking about Russell Wilson being booed. On what it was like for Ben as well when he was booed at home. Same thing with Big Ben talking about the Steelers' identity maybe forming against the Jets and also Russell Wilson's command of the offense.
All right. I look forward to that. We're coming up on the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And the injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. We'll be listening to Mike Tomlin and his update on injuries today. Curious about a couple different people. Cordero Patterson would be one of them. All right, Limits, let's hit the phone lines. I imagine it's a combination of Steelers and where they stand in the AFC and also Lamar Jackson. And I guess the best way I can phrase it is he's one of the most spectacular players I've ever seen. I think it's unfair. I think it's sad that the first thing that pops into people's minds as they're watching his brilliance, like last night, is, oh, that guy, he can't win the big one. He can't win in the playoffs. You know, it's like it's like that, you know, mars everything he does. It's like, can we just enjoy him for a night without that being mentioned at all? Just for a night? And I think he's already on that list. And we all know what the list is of great players in sports history, especially if he wins a third MVP who have never won a championship. Three MVPs? And on top of that, yes, there is room for criticism, of course, of his playoff performances. Last year, they ran into a really good Chiefs team. He didn't perform in that game. He didn't. The week before, against a pretty good Houston team, he was 16 of 22 with two TDs, no picks, and he ran for 100 yards on 11 carries. I mean, look at this, Limits. He leads the NFL in passer rating. He's tied for second in touchdowns, and he's got almost 500 yards rushing. He's got more rushing yards than Alvin Kamara, Mixon, Pollard, you know, a bunch of different guys. It's crazy. It really is.
I mean, I didn't watch last night's game and say to myself, oh, well, Lamar, I mean, when the playoffs come around, I watched it for what it was, a game in the early to mid portions of the season, and also thinking, man, Baltimore once again is dangerous. Like, it didn't pop into my mind, oh, Lamar, playoffs and all this. Like,
did it pop into your mind that this dude is unbelievable and what entertainment this is?
Yeah.
Well,
but I mean,
I think that's two different subjects.
Like, Lamar can be a very exciting and very good player while also being somebody who disappoints in the playoffs and still needs to achieve more when it matters most. Both
sure.
can be true.
Right. But both, whenever A is brought up, I feel like B is often brought up too, and that B somehow outweighs A. That's the part I think is sad. How about Derrick Henry? 873 yards rushing? He's averaging 6.5 yards a carry. Wonder twin. Did you know that?
I knew it was a lot, considering he breaks off big run after big run every single week. And it seems like every game, he is their most consistent threat when they give him the ball. I mean, there's been some games they've only given him the ball like 10, 15 times.
They're really smart by doing that. Because at his age, with the punishment that he's taken, I mean, they showed him for large portions of last night's game on the sidelines. I just think that is so smart of them to pick their spots. It's an endless, ridiculous season. It really is. It's silly. The punishment that these guys, especially at his position, which I think is the most punishing position by far in all of sports. I mean, where else is the idea? It used to be a game we'd play growing up was kill the guy with the ball. Like 11 of us would try to tackle little Tim Walker at the end of Rich Cole Street. It was a dead end Limits with a little
cul-de-sac.
Cul-de-sac.
Yeah, I like those.
With a pine tree in the middle of it. You throw up the ball. Whoever gets it tries to stay alive. And usually they don't by the end of the game. That's the position that this guy plays. They're just smart. That was Mulsey is tweeting me. How about that?
No, I thought that would be your wife still angry about golf this morning.
No, I'm putting that off till later. Let's go to the lines, shall
right,
we?
Let's start with Vincent in Columbus wants to talk Steelers.
Hey, Vincent.
Hey, guys. I think they're fifth right now. I still give the Texans and Bills respect because of the quarterbacks, but I feel like the Ravens game coming up in week 11 will really, if they win that game, I feel like that puts them at least in second in my eyes.
Second ahead of, the Ravens. Okay. Are you more optimistic about these Steelers than you have been since, let's say, their great start in 2020?
Yeah, I'm definitely more optimistic. The defense is better as long as everyone stays healthy. And it's just good to see good quarterback play again. I feel like we've been just starving for that since Ben retired, so that gives me more optimism.
I mean, a lot of this is about health. in the end. And I realize that championship teams overcome big injuries. And I'm not mentioning this as an excuse. I'm not. I'm just pointing out that when you make a playoff run, really in all of sports, you generally have good health. And the Steelers have had some bad luck in that area when they've had some pretty good teams. Ryan Shazier comes to mind. I mean, he was trending toward possibly NFL Defensive Player of the Year when that happened to him that year. They went into other years, I think, twice without Le'Veon Bell. They went to Denver that year, gave Peyton Manning a game the year the Broncos won the Super Bowl with Peyton, and they didn't have Le'Veon or Antonio Brown. No T.J. Watt last year. Man, it's tough to overcome injury. You know, there's injuries all the time. But when you take one of your top two or three players, your best player, and they're injured, that's just really hard to overcome. So I think a healthy, relatively healthy Steeler team is one to be reckoned with. I don't think that's an insane opinion. 928-9370. Next.
Let's go to Ben in Maryland.
Hello, Ben. Are you a Ravens fan? Is he there?
No, Ben's gone now. He dropped off, I guess.
He got scared.
Let's go to Steve in Gibsonia.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. What's going on?
I think the Steelers are going to win at least two games in the playoffs because we're going to have home field advantage. What do you think about that?
So home field, do you think they'll win the division then? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you think that's because they play the Ravens well and it'll come down to those games and they'll beat them, I'm assuming, right? Or at least split and then do well elsewhere, right?
Split and sweep the Bengals and Browns.
Fair enough. I don't think that's crazy. I think the Ravens are a better team than the Steelers. I do, but I don't think that's crazy at all. Do we have Jason Lockenfora on the Ravens right now? Because that's the team that the Steelers are chasing. Why don't we take a little listen to Jason? He was on with the morning guys because the Ravens do have a problem, and it's defensively, and they're missing Patrick Queen. And I thought Crowley made a very good point today. Even though Queen has been probably mildly disappointing here, just getting him away from Baltimore was a good thing because a lot of the synergy there, him and Roquan Smith fed off each other, and the whole was in some ways better than the sum of its parts, although Roquan's a great player, don't get me wrong. But they're missing Patrick Queen there, from what I understand, from what Jason says, too. Let's take a listen to Lockenfora on the state of the Ravens.
I don't even think it's really close because they can beat you a bunch of different ways. They can beat you downfield with wide receivers. They can beat you intermediate and downfield with tight ends.
He was asked there, sorry, Limits, if this is the best Ravens offense under Lamar, and you heard him say it's not even close. Go ahead.
Intermediate and downfield with tight ends. The running backs are now a part of this passing game in a way that they never were in the past. They can beat you at the horizontal passing game. Lamar is diagnosing the blitz and finding his hots and understanding what teams are trying to do to him at a level that he never did before, you know, even in his previous MVP years. They're leaning into some personnel groupings that you don't see a ton of in the NFL, 21 and 22, with a lot of big bodies. And they're getting under center and they're running play action out of it. And they're doing it with a 300-pound fullback and a 250-pound running back who, boy, you have to respect that they're just going to hand it off to Henry behind Ricard. But if they don't, you've probably got one or two mismatches downfield with Zay Flowers or Isaiah Likely or Mark Andrews. They're presenting some real schematic looks that teams are having to sort of pick their poison and find out which way do we want them to hemorrhage us? Like, what are we more comfortable with? Like, they're going to get their yards. Kind of, how do we want to have to make them earn it? It's pretty incredible. And then in the run game, I mean, it's a three-man run game. You know, Derrick Henry's doing incredible stuff, and he's running for more yards in the fourth quarter than a lot of starting running backs are for the season. But you still have to, is Lamar Jackson going to keep this ball? You know, is he going to throw it to Justice Hill? Like, we're starting to see Justice Hill and Derrick Henry on the field together a little bit more. I don't know, man. The offensive line was a real issue the first few weeks. They've now got a five-man unit that they pretty much trust. Like, nothing's unstoppable, But what they're doing right now, what the Lions are doing right now, is just in another class for me.
No doubt. I mean, you have to agree. I will say this, though, that Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, as you mentioned, Limitless Wonder, have played Lamar very well. Like, teams should study what the Steelers do against Lamar. Having said that, I really did think he played a good game here last year. And his receivers completely let him down. Now, did he talk about Ravens' weak points as well? Did he talk about their defense here? Do you have that? No? Okay. He talked about them missing Patrick Queen and having some problems in the secondary. And if you look at the Ravens week by week, their defense is not as good as it was. Offense better, defense worse. I don't think there's any question about that. They gave up 38 to the Bengals a couple weeks ago, and they won in overtime. Then the Commanders had a pretty good offensive game, and then last night was weird. I mean, it was like Tampa kept scoring late in the game. It should have been a complete blowout. They come up with 3 fourth-quarter touchdowns. And then, by the way, did you see what happened to Chris Godwin?
Yeah, terrible. I was watching at the end. That's when I turned the game off.
That just was sickening. And he seems like, such a good guy, and he's a great, great player who's already been through injury problems. I have to tell you, I didn't agree with people who said get them out of the game. I know you're under a minute, but it's a 10-point game. I mean, you're still trying to scramble, maybe get a field goal, onside kick, throw a Hail Mary. It's a 10-point game. There are times I usually err on the side of get your quarterback out, get your best players out, forget it. Live to fight another day. But this one was borderline. And they were getting ripped for it. Todd Bowles was getting absolutely ripped, and I thought that was unfair. You?
I can understand if you're a Tampa Bay and if you're a Tampa sports fan saying, yeah, of course, 2020 vision now, our guy got hurt. But, I mean, when you go into that situation, yeah, 10-point game, you're playing to still have an opportunity to win it. I know onside kicks are like, what, 7% successful?
Yeah.
But still, you still go out full force and don't give up until the final whistle unless it's like a 21-point game.
I mean, there was, I think, 43 seconds left. They're at the 40-yard line. Obviously, there's a extremely minimal chance you're going to win a game, but some of the greatest comebacks in history have come out of those chances. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't hate
it. Even if it was 2 touchdowns, I might have said forget it. But it was a field goal and touchdown. They're down 10, and there's 43 seconds left in the game. Or when that play got snapped, by the way, there was a minute. 104. I don't know. That's a tough one for me to rip the head coach on that, but it was a horrifying injury. It looked like, terrible break of, lower leg.
It's his ankle that's severely injured, and he's going to be out for the rest of the year.
Just horrible. And Evans got hurt in that game, too. Looked like a hamstring or something to that effect. All right, Limits. Continue to take calls on the state of the Steelers in the AFC. A lot of people are in pump the brakes mode. I don't know why. No, nobody's saying they're going to race to a Super Bowl championship. I don't even think they're going to win the division. But I think they might be the third best team in the AFC. Certainly they're in the mix with Buffalo and Houston. And the top two, any way I slice it anyway, I actually think the Ravens might be a better team than Kansas City. But if I'm carving a path toward the Super Bowl, it always goes through Arrowhead. And the Chiefs have to be first because they got that guy